Welcome to the CLS Experience. I'm your host, Craig Siegel. I'm a born and raised New Yorker who achieved success with multiple businesses, but I crave something deeper. So I dedicated myself to personal growth and transformation by revamping my mindset. I went from being unable to run a mile to conquering four marathons the following year. Now, I want to help others manufacture big breakthroughs of their own.
The moment you begin to feel imposter syndrome or lack of confidence or you aren't worthy, realize that you are on the right track. And that's because if you never feel imposter syndrome, if you are always in your comfort zone, it means you are never pushing yourself. The only way that we grow, the only way that we develop our goals is that we have to challenge ourselves a little bit. And so if you're comfortable all the time, you're never getting out of your comfort zone. If you never feel imposter syndrome, it means you're never pushing yourself and your identity a little bit farther so you can grow into a new identity. So every time you feel it, don't be anxious about the anxiety. Instead, say, okay, this is a sign that I'm doing something new. Maybe I need more support. Maybe I need to build myself up a little bit more. Maybe I need to take it a little bit slower. But it doesn't mean that I'm on the wrong track.
I think that's the most beautiful thing I ever heard. On today's episode of the CLS Experience, we have a very exclusive treat. She's an absolute powerhouse in the realm of interpersonal communication and leadership, as well as a best-selling author behind the books Captivate, The Science of Succeeding with People, and Cues, Master the Secret Language of Charismatic Communication, which have resonated with over 17 languages worldwide. No big deal. With 50 million people tuning into her captivating YouTube tutorials and TEDx talk, she's a force to be reckoned with. As founder of Sign to People, she doesn't just talk about how people work. She's developed a science-backed framework that dives deep into understanding diverse personalities, enhancing our EQ, and revolutionizing the way we communicate in the professional world, which I deeply admire. Every month, millions flock to her website seeking her unique methods that transform elusive soft skills into actionable, masterable frameworks which can be applied immediately. She's just a juggernaut in all facets of life and an extraordinary human being. Please welcome the insightful, transformative, beautiful, and brilliant, the abundant Vanessa Van Edwards. How you doing, Vanessa?
Oh my goodness. See, the bar is too high. The bar is high. People listening are like, great, that was it. We're done.
That's going to be a tough one to live up to. I take such pride in the intros. I'm glad that it resonated with you. But as I always like to say to a lot of our mutual friends and guests, it's your story. You wrote it. I just said it.
And also, I was excited to talk to you because a lot of my career has been about reinventing myself, pivoting. And so I'm so happy that you're talking about what you do. And I'm also very happy for anyone listening. If you're in a pivot point, you're in the right spot.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Let's start right there. I want to make the most of every second. And for our listeners, we're about 6 million now. If you weren't familiar, my biggest suggestion, do a deep dive, play catch up, check out all the unbelievable stuff Vanessa has going on. What I think is most valuable today is we should have an unbelievable conversation and squeeze out the most value of every single second. You mentioned right there, reinvention and pivoting. It's so interesting. We just launched our book, The Reinvention Formula. It was a Wall Street Journal bestseller and so forth. And I think when people hear the term reinvention, they might have different definitions. I'm just curious, for you personally, when you think of reinventing yourself, what does that mean for you?
For me, that means that you have to get off the ladder that you were on and find a new ladder. Mm. And for me, I'm happy to share if this is helpful for anyone. I always wanted to be a writer. And beginning of my career, about 15 years ago, I was writing as much as I could. I was writing a blog. I got a book deal from a major publishing house, thought it was a dream come true, thought it would change my life, put my heart into the book. Book came out, no one bought it. Got terrible reviews. The publishing house basically said, you're never going to write again. You should stop writing books and you need to get off this ladder. And I was so devastated. It was one of those moments where I felt like, you know, if you're a creative person, if you create anything and your creative thing is rejected, it feels like you are rejected. And so it felt like, okay, if I have to get off that ladder, what am I going to do next? And so that was a moment where I had to reinvent what is it that I wanted to do. And I knew I always wanted to write, but it didn't mean I had to write on the same ladder. And so I decided to change what I was writing about and write about. I was very depressed. I was in bed. And my husband said to me, you got to keep writing. And I was like, about what? And he was like, about this. Like, write about like the imposter syndrome and the dark stuff. And at that point, I was feeling a lot of like social anxiety and awkwardness. And so I decided, I was like, you know, maybe there's people out there who also feel awkward and they're social overthinkers. And that's when I started to write a new website, a new blog about being awkward and how to communicate despite not being an extrovert.
Bye. That's where we dropped the mic, but we're just getting warmed up. And I'm so glad I started out by asking you that question. I think that was so helpful. And also it shows you like where you came from. People see you now and they create this story, this picture, but they don't know what you've been through and what you persevered through and how you bounced back. And I think it's awesome. Thank you for the vulnerability. And also you talk about awkward there a lot and being an introvert. I'm actually an introvert, which surprises a lot of people because I show up on stage and social media and stuff. But for me, I'm comfortable now putting myself out there, but I need to replenish in solitude. Sometimes like if I'm at an event, to be honest with you, I don't think I've ever said this out loud, I'll hide in the bathroom for 5 minutes. I just need a second. And I'm like, does that sound familiar?
Okay. That's called a bathroom recharge. It's a real thing. Okay. It's a real thing because you know how like you have, sometimes you plug in your phone for just a quick top off.
Sure. That's
right. I go to the bathroom and I'm like, right. Like I like splash my face. I hype myself up. I'm like, you can do it. You can do it. Right. So that is a real thing. And by the way, I think actually you might be an ambivert. So I am as well. Most people have heard of introvert or extrovert, but most people around 82%, the latest research study looked at, are actually ambiverts. Ambiverts are very interesting because they can swing up into extroversion if it's aligned with their goals. So for example, you and me, our goal is to help people, right? Our goal is to support people in their process and their lifestyle. So we're willing to go to an event or get on stage or, you know, put ourselves out there to swing into extroversion to help achieve our goals. But they also need a lot of recharge time, right? Like they have to be able to recharge alone. And so it's actually helpful to know if you're an ambivert for two reasons. One, you should know who and what are the people and places that drain you the fastest. They're like, just like an app on a phone, there are certain apps or certain people that just suck the life out of you.
Mm.
Right? You got to know who those people are because you only have so much social energy, especially my ambiverts. If you're working with a half battery, you have to make sure you conserve it for the right people. So first, who in your life drains you? The way that you know this, a quick test, is open up your calendar. Look at all the things you have coming up in the next month, just like kind of scan them. When you see someone's name or you see an event, where are you like, oh, I don't want to do that. Just like dread the moment you see it. That's a place or a person that is draining you. Those you want to limit as much as possible. So create boundaries around those people, say no to those people, but also make sure you're setting yourself up for recharge time before and after. Mm. The opposite question, the second question is, who gives you energy?
So we did a thing and launched our first book, The Reinvention Formula, and became a Wall Street Journal bestseller in the first week of launch. The feedback is off the charts, and this book has 41 bite-sized chapters on everything to help you gain clarity, cultivate self-belief, unlock a bulletproof mindset, branding, entrepreneurship, mindset, falling in love, self-care, and everything in between. It's the number one vessel for all of your human development in one place, and it was published by the iconic Wiley Publishing, hitting number 4 for Wall Street Journal and becoming a USA Today bestseller as well. No big deal. It's very digestible. I had no ghostwriter, and it's jam-packed with juicy nuggets that will ignite that fire within. Head to Barnes & Noble, Amazon, and any way you buy books, snatch your copy today and activate your expansion. Juicy nuggets, you dig?
Right, like there are certain people I found that I can be with for way longer. I can spend all day with them and still feel recharged. Learning experiences like being on podcasts, going to conferences, I can do that way longer than I could be at a nightclub.
Yeah.
I can do that way longer than I can schmooze at a networking event. So the places that fuel you are just as important.
Yeah, it's kind of like an audit, right? See who fills your cup or empties it or feeds you or bleeds you. And, you know, I protect my energy these days for the life of me. And it wasn't always like that. But when I reinvented myself, I understand now how precious it is. And like, if you ever say yes to something that you don't really want to do, and I want to be responsible, like to each their own, obviously case by case, but you end up like building resentment. You're like, why am I here? It's no good for anybody, right?
Okay, let's really dive into this, because I know there are people listening who are like, no, Vanessa, you know, I have to say yes and fake it till I make it. And I just have, no, here's why. Research has found that our anxiety, our fear is actually contagious. So you showing up with someone that you actually dread or feel like takes away from you, or you showing up at an event that you are fearful of or worried about or dreading, actually makes you negatively contagious. Here was a study that they did. It's a kind of a gross study, but it's really interesting. Is they have, it's gross. You'll see. They brought people into their lab and they split them up into two different groups. The first group wore a sweat suit, like a suit that caught their sweat, and they had to run on the treadmill. The second group, they put them in sweatsuits and they had them skydive for the first time. Okay. So they had two different samples of sweat: treadmill sweat and fear sweat, right? Regular sweat, just exercise induced, versus I am terrified for my life. They then took these samples of sweat and they put unsuspecting participants in fMRI machines to scan their brain, and they had them smell each sample of sweat. I know. I hope they paid them well. And the participants here had no idea what they were smelling. They didn't know they were smelling sweat. They didn't know anything. When they smelled the fear sweat, their own fear part of their brain activated. The part of their amygdala that was afraid became afraid. Yeah. Meaning there is so much about our human connected experience that we don't understand, that if we are afraid, people can literally smell that on us. And not only that, they catch it. So I believe in radical connection. That is that if you don't want to spend time with someone, say no. If you think that they are not fully supporting you, do not let them in your life.
I mean, it's unbelievable. I couldn't agree more. And you have to be so intentional. And I think, you know, it's trendy to like choose a word for the year that you're really going to get behind. I've been doing that 15 years, but I really believe in it because I think it's a way to manifest. But really, just by setting the intention, and then it's always fun to look back and see how did the year pan out and so forth. And I think my word that's feeling good to me, that's coming up right now for 2024, is intentionality. And just being so selective and intentional with everything that I do. If it's not moving the needle, or if it's not something that really like lights you up, then maybe it's just no. And just doubling down on the things that do move the needle and light you up. We don't have forever here, you know?
That's it. So I love it. It's funny, I feel the same way. So my word this year, my phrase was aggressively helpful. And it like so grounded me all year long. I had a baby this year. So
congrats.
Thank you. She's 9 months now. And I was launching a very new aspect of one of my courses. And I was like, if I just ground myself in this is a year of service, like, this is a year of giving of my body, giving of myself to both my daughter and also my business. And it was so grounding, because whenever I felt like, this is a lot, I was like, you know what? This is the year of aggressively helpful. Next year will be different. Last year was different, but this is the year of service. So I would absolutely, wherever you are in the year, whenever you're listening to this, think about intentionality. Maybe that would be a great word. Think about what could you do to be more positively contagious. I think a lot of the time in my work, people think about being more charismatic, being more impressive, being more likable. And I love all those things. But actually, what is the most charismatic thing you can do is show up in a room and leave everyone better off than where you found them, right? We often see that phrase on mirrors, right? Like, leave this bathroom better off than how you found it. I think it's the same thing with people, that if you have someone in your life where you are happy to contribute to their goals, you love supporting them and hearing from them, you want to infect them with something positive, that is someone who's meant to be in your life.
Yeah.
If there's someone who brings out the negative, then they're not worth your energy.
Yeah, 100%. And also, it's like, if somebody triggers you for some reason, like, you can spend all the time like doing the inner work. Why am I being triggered? Or, and I'm honestly asking, I'm curious, like, would you rather spend time saying, why does this person trigger me? Or just be like, you know what? I don't like myself when I'm around that cat. I'm going to maybe keep my distance.
Okay. So there's a really interesting study. I love studies, as you know.
I love it.
This also is another way to think about your social energy. Ambivalence is actually one of the most toxic things we can have in our life.
You may have heard, we have the fastest growing, dynamic, supportive, and strategy-rich community in the space called the CLS Membership. We meet 3 Wednesdays a month virtually on different topics such as entrepreneurship, branding, money stories, building relationships, mindset, and a whole lot more. We have a private group where members collaborate and network, and we are joined by massive guest speakers who have personally hit me up on the side saying they have never felt an energy like the one we have inside our community. It's special and exclusive. If you're listening to this podcast, you're clearly a growth-minded, expansive cat. If you'd like to learn more, head to our website and check out the CLS membership. And also, get a little excited, you dig?
We often hear about toxic people or difficult people. And so far in this conversation, we've been talking about obviously difficult people. But actually, when we've decided, you know what, that cat, like you said it, that person is not my person, that's actually pretty easy for our brain to go, okay, we're putting them in the box. They're a difficult person. No more. The harder relationships, the more draining relationships are ambivalent relationships. There was a study that looked at police officers, and they asked police officers to rate their levels of the relationships in their precinct, so the people they worked with every day. What they found was is that the police officers who had the most ambivalent relationships had the highest work stress, the lowest work happiness, and were the most drained and burnt out. This is even more than people who had a lot of people they didn't like. So in other words, a police officer who had a lot of toxic people in their precinct was actually functional. They were like, I know who those people are. I'm not going to get lunch with them. Here's why ambivalence is so difficult. Ambivalent relationships are when you go, do I like that person? Does that person support me? Wait, was that a passive aggressive comment? What, are they negging me? Do I like spending time with them, or do I just do it out of default? Those are actually so draining on our resources that officers who knew, I don't want to have lunch with that person, easy. They're going to have lunch with someone else. But it's when you're not sure. And so if there's a group of people who you're not sure of, make it your mission in the next 30 days, I'm going to give you 30 days to decide if you like this person or you don't, to move them out of the ambivalence gray area. So do a couple tests, text them a couple of updates or a funny conversation starter. See, does the response make you happy? Does the response feel like it resonates with you? Do they reply to you? Set up at least one time to hang out and be like, did I leave more charged up than when I got there?
Yeah, I mean, it's not easy, but it's simplest, right? Pay attention to the way that you feel. Mm-hmm. It's feedback.
And also actively, intentionally moving people out of ambivalence so they no longer drag on you.
Yeah, I love it. It's so good. I have a fun idea. I was looking at your content, which I highly suggest everybody do immediately following this conversation. It's really awesome. And there was and again, we can dive into the past and so forth, but I want to encourage everybody to play catch up on their own. I'm going to ask you a few fun, cool topics. Maybe we'll do some short answers and we'll run through them.
Love it. You know, I'm terrible at short answers, but I'll try.
I know. So am I. But we'll do the best we can to fit as many as we can. Rapid fire. You ready for me?
I'm ready.
Okay. People can make accurate judgments of others within 1/10 of a second of seeing their profile photo.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So a great study looked at personality traits and found that we can decide someone's extroversion, agreeableness, organization, and even how they would work on a team just by looking at their face. This means that you want to make sure that your profile picture is an accurate representation of you. The biggest red flags are an inauthentic smile, so your smile not reaching all the way up into your eyes, or a lopsided smile, an asymmetrical smile, or like a contempt microexpression. So make sure you are not doing that.
Wait, what was the first one? If it doesn't go to your eyes?
Yeah. So like an authentic smile is when it reaches all the way up into your eyes, these upper cheek muscles.
That's authentic.
That's authentic. Yes. Right. Fake smiles when it doesn't reach all the way up into your eyes.
Like this?
Like here's my example. Fake is like, it's like, so happy to be here.
Yeah.
So happy for you. And it's like, just at the bottom, like there's nothing worse than someone hopping on a video call or like you see them in a meeting and they're like, yeah, it was such a great week.
Yeah.
It's like you'd rather them say, gosh, it's been a really hard week.
Right. 100%.
Right. And yeah. So like, let's get radically transparent, right? Like so much faster. And by the way, you don't have to be smiling in your profile picture. I would actually rather you be neutral and and serious or authentically smiling, but nothing in between.
I love that. That's actually very helpful. Of course, all your stuff is helpful. All right, another one. This is a good one. They're all good. What's a good question a manager can ask their employees?
Okay, so the very first question you should ask your employee is, what was your biggest win or success this month? People are very nervous to meet with their managers. And so they're very worried that you're waiting to pounce on them for a failure. So starting off the meeting with what was your biggest win or success benefits the person who's being asked, because you're starting them on a high. It lets them brag in front of you. And also the manager, even if they have something negative, starting with a positive reminds them, oh, that's right, they did have a big win.
So pretty straightforward. Is this the same or maybe not? How do you make your employees feel valued and appreciated?
I actually believe in finding out what recharges your employees' batteries the fastest. So for example, on my team, I am very aware of my teammates' value languages. These are a little bit different than love languages. So love languages are great. They're, you know, quality time, acts of service, physical touch, words of affirmation, and gifts. Helpful. Love it. You can start with that. The next kind of level is what makes them feel valued. This is by FOA and Associates. So it's a researcher named FOA. I talk about this in Captivate, which is basically that there are different things that people value. So wisdom, being in the know. I have certain employees who they do not like surprises. The biggest way they feel valued is getting inside information, getting updated first, and being included on important calls. Like that is one of their biggest ways they feel valued. Another person is about reputation. So they're less into like salary is okay and bonuses and raises are okay, but actually for them, public recognition is the most important. Title increases, posting about them, sharing accolades on their LinkedIn. And so it's important to know what does each person value. It's probably not just bonuses and raises. Those are great, of course, and we have to make sure we're paying fairly. But on top of that, what are the other things that make them feel valued?
So good. Yeah, love this.
By the way, I have another employee who doesn't like public recognition, right? So like, I noticed that when I give that to her, she's super uncomfortable. So like, you also don't want to take away from them accidentally with something that you might like, but they might not like.
Yeah, not everybody responds the same to life.
No, I don't believe in the golden rule, like the golden rule, which is treat others as you would treat yourself. That actually does not work. I much prefer the platinum rule, which is treat others as they would treat themselves, which is a very different way of looking at things. So it's not what would I like if I were in this employee's shoes? No, it's what do they want most? And that's a very different line of questioning.
That's so good. I think of like when I'm helping a client, like I try to put myself in their shoes. Like, what does this client really need right now?
Yes. Yes. And what would add to them or what would take away from them?
Yes. Love it. Okay. Treat everyone like they could be your friend, soulmate.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I think that awkwardness often comes from a lack of intention or a lack of goals, right? We get into a conversation in an Uber, at a networking event, with a client, with our boss in the elevator, and we're like, how is it going? Have any good stories? Like, we don't know what to do with our conversation. So I actually think what a secret goal you can give yourself is pretending that the person you're speaking with is your best friend soulmate. Like, they're the person who could be someone who could be a potential best friend. When you have that assumption, it changes the nature of that stranger kind of awkward stiffness and also changes your questions, right? So you would never ask your best friend, like, you know, so live around here, what do you do? But you wouldn't do those kinds of questions. You immediately skip those and you're like, so do you have any fun plans this past weekend? What did you do with your kids, with your family? You immediately kind of skip a level and you also have an intention of searching for Me Too moments. You're searching for moments where they can say, oh, I watch soccer. Oh, I love soccer. Or, you know, yeah, I just planted a tea garden. Oh my gosh, I love gardening too. You're like searching for those Me Too moments as if they could be your best friend. It's a mental trick that I think everyone wins.
Yeah, so good. You have to talk about charisma. Mm-hmm. I love charisma. I just big personalities. I grew up being like a little bit of a nerd and I love the wrestling stuff. And I'm just curious, in your opinion, based upon your experience, is charisma something that you need to be born with or you can develop it?
100% you can learn it. There are people who are naturally born charismatic. Sure. But what we don't realize, and this is the foundation of my work, is that there are different flavors of charisma. when we think of charismatic people, we typically think of the booming life of the party, extrovert, outgoing, funny. That is one type of charisma, but there are actually different flavors of charisma. There's the quiet, powerful introvert. There's the deeply empathetic, great question asking, compassionate healer. They're all different flavors of charisma. And I think the key is honing your natural strengths. So if you're an introvert or an ambivert, do not try to be the booming extrovert personality. That is only going to feel inauthentic and fake.
Inauthentic, yeah.
Yeah, the best way for you to be charismatic is like, okay, when did I feel like myself? When did I leave people better off than they were before? What was the magic sauce in that moment? It could have been being funny. It could have been asking good questions. It could have been being the best listener someone had had. It could have been being a problem solver. What was that magic trait? That is your social strength. That is the charisma that you want to start to develop and lift like it's a muscle.
Yeah. So find your unique gifts and kind of exploit those. Don't try to be something you're not.
Like, I'm not cool, right? Like, I'm not cool. I never was cool. No, I promise you, I'm not cool. I don't wear cool clothes. I don't listen to cool music. And so I learned a long time ago to not even pretend. Like, if someone asks me about music, I'm like, Britney? Like, I don't know anything. And so I don't pretend. Okay. So those aren't my things. I love asking questions and I love science. Who knew that science, sharing science experience could be a social strength? But for me, that works. Like, I go out and I'm always sharing science experiments. People are like, oh, wow, that's cool. For some reason, that is my bicep curl, where I'm just reading science experiments and trying to share them in fun ways. So it can be as small as that.
Yeah. So good. All right. Final one. You ready for me? This is fun.
I'm ready.
This okay. is so much value in a short amount of time. I think these are topics that everybody can relate to in some capacity. Overcoming the daunting imposter syndrome and boosting your inner confidence or your inner game.
Yes. So I think that we have to reframe imposter syndrome a little bit. I used to be terrified of imposter syndrome, like terrified of my own terror, right? Like, I'm a social overthinker. So I get anxious that I'm anxious. It's like a terrible trait.
It actually makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. So that meta anxiety is actually worse than the anxiety itself. Okay. Imposter syndrome is kind of the same way, where you're like doing a project or you're on stage or you're writing a book or you're pitching your idea or you're hiring someone and you're like, uh-oh. I'm feeling a lack of confidence. Uh-oh, I don't feel like I deserve to be here. Oh my gosh, what am I even doing here? And then as you begin to feel that, it becomes worse and worse and worse because you're judging yourself. Okay, reframe. The moment you begin to feel imposter syndrome or a lack of confidence or you aren't worthy, realize that you are on the right track. And that's because if you never feel imposter syndrome, if you are always in your comfort zone, it means you are never pushing yourself. The only way that we grow, the only way that we develop our goals is that we have to challenge ourselves a little bit. And so if you're comfortable all the time, you're never getting out of your comfort zone. If you never feel imposter syndrome, it means you're never pushing yourself and your identity a little bit farther so you can grow into a new identity. So every time you feel it, don't be anxious about the anxiety. Instead, say, okay, this is a sign that I'm doing something new. Maybe I need more support. Maybe I need to build myself up a little bit more. Maybe I need to take it a little bit slower, but it doesn't mean that I'm on the wrong track.
I think that's the most beautiful thing I've ever heard.
Nutrition Solutions offers the best healthy meal prep options for health, wellness, weight loss, and improved performance. The customer service and support at Nutrition Solutions is unbelievable and second to none. And when I travel for my marathons, the meals are waiting at my hotel. I don't even have to break a sweat. Even their protein donuts and breakfast items are made with fresh, organic ingredients. I love Nutrition Solutions' reliability, quality, and all-around lifestyle that they represent, which is world-class. To get both physically and mentally fit, go to NutritionSolutions.com and use promo code CLS25. Thank me later, you dig.
To be honest with you, I just wrote that down, and I think that's unbelievable. There's such power in a reframe. And if you're not uncomfortable, if you don't feel a little bit of anxiety, which can also be like in the same family as excitement, then you're not stretching yourself. And I'm a big believer in that. Your comfort zone is a death sentence. And I have the New York City Marathon this Sunday. It's my seventh. So I say very humbly, like, I know I could do it, but yeah. But I still feel the feels because I know anything can happen. 26.2 miles. Like, it's a big task.
Totally.
And that doesn't mean that, like, I'm scared. It means that I respect that this is a big deal. And I think that's kind of what you were just saying.
Yes. And a practical way to break this down is called the commit complete ratio, which is a quick way to test if you're doing enough or doing too much. Is your commit complete ratio is make a list of all the projects that you committed to in the last year, projects or tasks you committed to, and then go through how many of them did you complete. If you completed 100% of your tasks, it's not a good job. Do not pat yourself on your back. It means that you didn't sign up for enough. If you didn't complete 70, if you completed less than 70%, it means you signed up for too much. The sweet spot, I think, is between 70 and 80%. That means you pushed yourself, you signed up for a little bit more than you stretched yourself a little bit, but you still were able to commit and complete enough of them. So as you think about your projects, think about your commit complete ratio.
So good. I know we're getting to the end right now. I just want to ask you, what are you personally most excited about right now? And what's the best way for all our listeners to support and follow along with you? And obviously we'll put it in the show notes too.
Okay. So I'm very excited about AI. I think there's a lot coming for AI, and especially in the personal development space and the self-help space. We talk about a lot about AI for productivity, but I think there's a lot in the self-development space. So I run a course called People School, which is like a college course in interpersonal skills. It's 12 skills. It's about 30 hours of content. You graduate. And so we are adding AI conversation rooms and AI practice rooms to the course. And so I'm very, very excited about that, because it's not just like, okay, I'm going to learn this skill. You have live office hours with me. We office hours. It's actually like, okay, now go practice it. And we are training the AI in our conversation and negotiation principles so you can actually practice with it. I think this is the future of self-development. I think every good self-development course, book, training, we'll all have AI coaches, and we are on the forefront of trying to develop this tool. And I think it's going to be out in the next month or so. So
I think that's unbelievable. And in regards to AI, like for those listening, you don't have to love it, but don't demonize it. Like, form your own opinion. You know what I'm saying? Like the reality is, it's not going anywhere.
It's not going anywhere. And also, why not use it to better ourselves, right? Like in a very positive way.
Yeah, 100%. This was so much fun. Vanessa, I want you to know the definition of authenticity, curiosity, and deep wisdom. I could personally guarantee your best is yet to come. Keep on spreading your wings and leaving your mark on this world. So much love and respect for you. Thank you so much for stopping by and dropping these priceless, juicy nuggets today.
Oh, thanks so much for having me. And thanks everyone for listening.
That was unbelievable. I could talk to you all day.
It was easy. Thanks for all your fun questions.
Please rate, review, and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. And follow me on Instagram at CraigSiegel_CLS, the YouTube channel Craig Siegel, and our website, CultivateLastingSymphony.com, where you could sign up for our email blast with all free trainings on all of our content. The best is yet to come.